T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
As the coaches are starting to fall like the dominoes in the playground, here we go. It's the Giants versus the Dolphins. Who gets Brian Daboll? Who gets Brian Flores? You know the answer to that part, at least half of it already. Will the Giants get the guy they want? Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today, Ken?
Today has been a very good day for the Giants. Would you agree with that?
A very good day for the Giants?
Very good day for the Giants.
Why?
Well, first of all, they were never interested in Nathaniel Hackett.
Okay.
He got a job. They were never interested in Matt Eberflus. He got a job. And best of all,
go ahead,
Dan Quinn,
yes,
who no Giant fan wanted to be the head coach. I didn't think it would be a good hire. Dan Quinn decided, I'm going back to Dallas.
Which is really interesting because he interviewed for like 4 jobs, had 2 interviews with at least one place, if not multiple places, and then basically takes himself out of the running. You know, which means that Jerry Jones obviously either made a larger financial commitment to him or some type of, hey, as soon as McCarthy screws the pooch, we're going to let you step right in.
Or right? He hated the jobs that were available.
Yeah, but there were 9 jobs available.
But look at
the
jobs.
It's like a third of the league.
I agree, but look at the jobs. How many of them were that appealing?
Well, the Denver job might get much more appealing. Of course, it got taken by Hackett. So now everybody believes, all right, Nathaniel Hackett goes to Denver. We know the John Elway playbook. Every 10 years, bring in the best available veteran quarterback on a 2-year deal and hope to steal a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then suck for 10 years.
Guess what? It's not going to happen this time because Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver. Let him go to Denver. First of all, he won't lose home playoff games because they won't have home field advantage because that's Patrick Mahomes' division.
Right.
And number 2, he's not winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's funny how, you know, like, it's almost like a sheep mentality, right? Oh, Nathaniel Hackett got the job. You know what that means.
Right.
Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers are on their way to Denver. Everybody forgets one aspect of this. And it's a similar aspect that we have in New York with certain athletes, obviously. And that is the athlete, in this case, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, have no control at all.
Well, Devontae does. He's a free agent.
Well, they're going to tag him.
If they tag him, he doesn't have control.
Right, so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what he wants to do. Yeah. If they decide to tag him, which they have to, you know, they control where he goes.
Right.
Now, yeah, I understand why people think they're going to Denver, but the Green Bay Packers will decide if they go to Denver.
Oh, no, you're right. But I do think that sheep mentality that we have also applies to the Giants. I think a part of why over the last few days you have been committed to thinking Brian Daboll is going to be the head coach is because of who the general manager is, based on connections. Like, everything is a Giant connection.
Well, 2 things. 1, he's interviewed twice. 1 in person, 1 via Zoom.
Right.
2, obviously, the connections, which, to be fair, Leslie Frazier has the same connection.
He does.
As Brian Daboll. But 3... and not even because of the game against Kansas City or that he's obviously a hot candidate or anything like that. It's really what was the underlying focal point of the introductory press conference.
Oh, the quarterback.
With Shane. Not even the quarterback. I'm going to hire a guy that I know I can work with.
Right.
That
right.
I'm on the same page with. That
right.
I like Apple Jacks. He doesn't like Cheerios.
Right.
He likes Apple Jacks.
Right. That's why.
And that guy, so they already have, what is it, a 3-year?
Right.
4-year working experience together?
From that standpoint and his familiarity working with a young quarterback who's become a star, on paper, he seems to make the most sense. But today when Brian Flores meets with Joe Shane, you never know. It could be like one of those dates that you have where right out of the gate you just click. Or maybe the opposite, where right out of the gate you've got your friend calling you, giving you a code word so you can get the heck out.
Here's what the Giants need. If you're a diehard Giant fan, I know you're going to say at the end of the day it's not material, but I think it is. You know, it looks like, I think we'd all agree, that for the Giants it's coming down to either Brian Daboll or Brian Flores, right?
That's the way it feels, yeah.
They seem to be the two lead candidates. I think, last week I thought Flores was a lock. Now I think Dable's getting the job. Then a report comes out, Pat Leonard had in the Daily News late last night, that some people, because I know it's been disputed by other folks, but there was a four-hour period yesterday where the word was that Brian Daboll is the number one choice for the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
That's the guy they want.
Right, right.
So what's interesting is that if I was a Giant fan, I don't care if it's Flores or Daboll, I think I'd like to say yes to both guys. I'd be thrilled with either guy.
I think both feel like good hires right now.
But I want to make the decision.
Right.
In other words, if I'm a fan, if the Miami Dolphins hire Brian Daboll today, tomorrow, and I announce Brian Flores, who has not yet met with the Giants, I think that happens tomorrow. And I announced Brian Flores the next day.
Flores today, by the way.
Is it today? Okay.
Yeah, I think Leslie Frazier is tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. It's almost like the image of, well, the Dolphins took our guy. We went with our second choice. You follow me?
Sure, sure.
So if the New York Giants want Brian Daboll, and I think we'd all be okay with that, go ahead and sign him today. Just get it done.
If he wants the job.
Yeah, apologize to Flores, apologize to Leslie Frazier. Get it done, because if you're not sure, or if he is the guy, but you want to be respectful and going through the motions with the Flores interview and ultimately the Leslie Frazier interview, and the Dolphins signed Brian Daboll, it looks like another team took your guy.
Nah, but you know what?
And I don't like the image of that.
Forget images. What you've got to do.
It's all about image.
No, it's about hiring the right person.
But it's image.
No. Who cares about image?
Well, like, I think Giant fans care about image.
You know what? Yes. Yeah. If they hire Patrick Graham, if they hire Leslie Frazier, if they had hired Dan Quinn, I get it. A lot of Giant fans would have hated the hire. And they wouldn't have liked the imagery of the hire. But you've got to bring in the guy if you're Joe Shane. This is your first GM job. It may be your last GM job. There's no guarantee you're going to get a billion cracks at it.
Ask
John Idzik, okay?
Right.
Ask Jerry Reese, who won a Super Bowl, two of them.
Sure.
He hasn't got another opportunity. You've got to bring in the right guy. And you can't care, no offense, what you think, what Big Mac thinks, or what the imagery is. You have to interview Brian Flores today. You've got to see what his answers are about what happened in Miami, how he built a coaching staff, and get a feel of if that connection will work. You can't rush because you're afraid. You know what team rushed because they were afraid?
I don't.
The New York Jets did that when they hired Todd Bowles, where they were afraid of, well, we're not going to have a chance to interview Quinn. It's amazing it comes back to Quinn because of his Super Bowl run that he was on.
Right.
And so they felt, all right, we got to move on Todd Bowles. Someone else is going to get him. No, no, no. Hire the guy that you think is the right head coach. And here's the great news for the Giants. I read that report last night about the Dolphins and Brian Daboll, and they're a threat, absolutely. But I also read this morning that the Dolphins are going to wait. They're going to wait till next week. Okay. If you've decided after the week of interviews, you're the New York Giants, that Brian Daboll's your guy, then put a contract in front of him and say, here's the deal. Yes, or get the heck out.
I agree. Don't shop it.
You've got leverage on that. If the Dolphins are going to wait, Brian Daboll is going to have to take that risk of, I prefer the Dolphin job, I'm going to wait where I may not even get that job.
No, I get that. Listen, see, we've talked about it before in the show. It's the proverbial hotel deal. That's what they call it, a hotel room deal. And that is, here's the offer. If you leave the room without signing it, it goes away. Because what the Giants don't want, because then there is egg on your face, the New York Giants offered Brian Daboll a 5-year, $30 million contract, and he says, I'll get back to you, and goes down to South Florida and signs a deal with the Dolphins.
Right.
That'd be embarrassing. Now, it doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to are they going to win or lose next year, or if Brian Flores is a good candidate or not. It just would be embarrassing.
Well, but you know what?
And this is an organization, frankly, that has embarrassed itself enough.
I get all that, and I understand getting Giant fans to be happy and excited, but here's the truth, all right? Joe Shane doesn't need to win a press conference. He doesn't need to win how people feel about the coaching hire. He needs to win the hire by the hire being right.
Yeah,
so what I mean by that is Patrick Graham is a guy you say has no chance to get this job.
He cannot be hired.
If Patrick Graham kills it in this interview.
He ain't getting the gig.
Hold on. If he kills it in this interview,
yeah,
and Joe Shane, who's got no reason to pick Patrick Graham, it's not like he was here last year,
right?
But he believes strongly this is the guy. He has to make that higher.
Yeah, he's not.
Because winning the popularity contest this week means nothing. You know who won a popularity contest? Joe Judge's press conference.
Joe Judge won the Adam Gase.
And how'd that go?
No, it didn't work out well.
So I get why you say, and why a lot of Giant fans would say, you can't hire Patrick Graham, or you can't hire Dan Quinn even though he's out, or you can't hire Leslie Frazier. What Joe Shane's got to do is he's got to pick the right guy. Because that's how he's going to be judged. He's not going to be judged on how we feel today in January. He's going to be judged on the results of the hire.
Yes.
Not making you happy, not making Big Mac happy.
But listen, there's short-term and long-term. The short-term win is you want the fan base to like it because that's a good way to start your tenure off as GM. Long-term is far more important.
Of course.
But I can tell you as a fact, if Saturday afternoon Ian Rappaport comes on the radio and goes, the New York Giants have come to terms with Leslie Frazier, Giant fans are going to be pissed off.
But you know what? Yankee fans were pissed off when they hired Joe Torre.
But they're going to be pissed.
But you know what? If you're
live
Joe
in the
Shane,
moment.
If you're Joe Shane, I live in this moment.
Yeah,
if you're Joe Shane, I'll give him this advice.
Go.
Don't hire somebody based on popularity and making some fans happy. Hire the guy that 5 years from now we look back on and we say that was a great hire and that's what turned this franchise around. You're not wrong when you say Giant fans will be pissed off, disappointed, whatever.
We'll take 5 hours of phone calls. Shane doesn't know what he's doing. Leslie Frazier's a loser.
And then we'll save every last clip of you, of even me, and of every caller. Yeah. And maybe 5 years from now, that will be as cold of a take as Clueless Joe.
Well, we'll find out. We'll get your take on all that. Plus, we have come to the final crossroads, I believe, in the Nick career of Julius Randle. Last night, again, just brutal, rightfully so, gets benched for the fourth quarter, and then he no-shows the press after the game. Julius Randle is now dead. He is no longer a Nick. He's no longer a New Yorker. I will not be shocked if his wife and beautiful son no longer go to Nick games at the Garden, which is the next thing I'd look for in the sad evolution of a promising Nick career, but it's over. It's a failed experiment. It's a disaster. He doesn't deserve to rock the NY on his jersey. He doesn't deserve to play at Madison Square Garden. And I'm not even talking because the Knicks are a below 500 team. He has had the single quickest fall from grace of any professional New York athlete I can think of. There have been other falls from grace, but his has to be the fastest of all time. We'll get into that with you as well. And we're going to have a little fun today, Evan.
I'm just laughing at everything you said.
Yeah, you lost again last night. All right?
That's okay.
Yeah.
What did you say about Julius
again? Well, I said you're under 500 at home. Hi.
That's okay.
Coming up later today, we're going to have a little fun with you, and you're going to be a part of the show today. Today marks the anniversary of the day that Bill Belichick became, for a very short period of time, the head coach of the New York Jets. Coming up later today, we are going to do an hour of sports talk as if he had kept the job. We'll walk you through what your role in this is, but the fantasy of Belichick not signing that napkin will come to fruition later this afternoon. And you may hear things along the lines of, I don't know, Evan, I think you got to put Woody Johnson up there with George Steinbrenner as arguably the greatest owner of all time. I don't know, Evan. Can we win our 10th Super Bowl this year? I think we can. So we will have a little fun with you later today as we go into the WFAN Carton and Roberts time machine and pretend that Belichick kept the job. Oh, how great life would be. We'll get to that later today. We'll get your calls as well. 877-337-6666. We got Pete Alonso later today as tonight is the big night. The big Pete Alonso, Carton Roberts comedy show is tonight, and Pete is flying in today, so we hope to talk to him a little bit later on this afternoon as well, because he's going on stage tonight to tell, as he said to us, the one joke I know. We'll find out what that is.
You know why I'm not afraid of the snow? Because my nickname's Polar Bear. Yeah, will that be the joke?
Okay. I hope not.
You know what? The Met fans that are there will laugh anyway.
Yes, they would.
guarantee.
Oh, tonight's going to be the greatest crowd ever for a bad comic. Yeah, all you got to do is show wearing a Mets hat.
That's it.
Yeah. I have to go find a New York Mets hat to wear to tonight's show. Because right now I got my Islander
hat. Aren't you
on.
Still a Yankee fan, though, right now,
well,
technically?
But, yeah.
It hasn't expired. You're a Yankee fan on opening day of this upcoming year, if there is an opening day.
You're going to have 400 Mets fans in one building tonight. I ain't rocking a Yankee hat.
I dare you to.
Well, if you dare me, I'll do it.
Yeah, do it.
All right.
Be who you are. You're a Yankee fan.
Well, I'm in the moment, I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Do I have a Met hat here?
No, but you got a Yankee All-Star Game hat that you think is awesome. Put that on.
Which one? The
teal one? Oh, yeah. You know what? Put the teal one on.
I should rock that one,
yes.
Right?
I think you should, yes.
I do have a Yankee All-Star Game hat. I do have a Met hat,
matter
of fact.
You shouldn't wear a Met hat.
I should rock the Met hat?
You're not a Met fan.
Huh.
You gave that up when you decided this year, and it's still in effect, to be a Yankee fan, which I respect.
Well, we got lots to do today before that, and my hat announcement, I guess, will come later today as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
The Giants have Brian Flores in today. That might be going on right now, as a matter of fact. Right? You gotta figure that's going on. And I wonder how long those interviews are. Like, I don't know, in your life, did you ever interview for a job?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you remember the last time you actually went in, you know, put on your little bow tie and you probably were
a
Gap guy, put on your little Gap khakis and your little boat shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, there, I'm here applying for the job. When's the last time you applied for a job?
I remember the last time I went in for an interview for a job was a guy you know, a guy you worked with.
A guy I worked with?
A guy you worked with.
And you applied for a job from that guy?
Yeah, sort of.
Jeremy Coleman?
There you go.
Yeah.
Jeremy Coleman.
Jeremy Coleman ran WNEW.
Yes.
And then went to Sirius Satellite.
That's
radio.
Where I was. I went into Sirius all dressed up.
What'd
went
you
into
wear
his
for
office.
That?
By dressed up, I was wearing jeans and a T-shirt.
I guess you don't want the job that badly.
I think Jeremy liked it. I think he said, I like this guy. That's a radio guy right there.
Yeah, that's true. That does make you a radio guy. That's one of the reasons I like Aaron Boone so much.
Because he's cash?
Because he doesn't put on a jacket and tie.
Right.
Like Aaron Boone, even at his press conference to become Yankee manager, was rocking a quarter zip.
He's cash.
That's my guy right there. Yeah, I love that. Like, be who you are. Like, do you think wearing a tie or jacket and tie gets you a job?
No.
I guess in theory it could turn somebody off.
Well, it depends the job you're applying for.
But it doesn't get you the job.
No, I don't think it gets you your job, but I really do think it depends. Like, what job are you looking to get? I would think if you were interviewing for the Giant head coaching job.
Yeah.
I do think with John Mara in the room and Steve Tisch in the room.
Steve Tisch is a Hollywood guy.
So
though.
He's not in the room?
Steve Tisch is the classic blazer, open collar, button down, sunglasses on the head, maybe even jeans.
Right.
Whereas John Mara is what we refer to in the street world as IBM.
What does that mean?
Jacket, tie, starch, white shirt.
Yeah.
I look like extra starch.
So you don't,
that thing could walk on its own.
So you don't think when you walk into a meeting with John Mara, you're probably going to want to be well-dressed?
I get you play to the audience,
I'm
right?
I'm not saying it's going to effectively end your chance of getting the job or not,
John Mara owns a seersucker suit for sure, and has at some point in his life gone to a fox hunt.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I was reading the other day that Patrick Graham was at the press conference for Joe Shane, and he was dressed very casually.
He's still the defensive coordinator, right?
Okay, and he was dressed very casually. And I forget which article I read it in. It may have been the New York Post. I apologize. That he brought an extra set of clothes to change into for the meeting to become the head coach.
See, I wouldn't hire him just on that.
Why?
Because that's Fugazi.
Why is that Fugazi?
Because, like,
effort. He
number
effort.
One, like, if you were, you're already here. Right. Let's say there was another job here that you wanted, but you're normal, you're a t-shirt and jean guy, sweatshirt and jean guy. So let's say you came in and you're wearing your normal work clothes and your interview is an hour from now. And in that hour, you went into the bathroom and you put on a blazer, slacks, the whole bit.
Right.
Fugazi.
Why?
Because,
I'm comfortable.
Oh my God, now we're going to hire you because you put on a blazer?
It's not now you're going to hire me. It's I'm going to show respect for the job I'm applying for, but this is what I'm normally comfortable in. So I'm going to walk around like this, and then when I have to, then I'll change and look appealing.
Like, I put on a jacket and tie when I applied for my first radio job in Buffalo, New York.
Do you think it helped you get the job?
That's because I didn't know any better. No, I got the job because they paid me $250 a week
right.
before taxes, and I was willing to live in a retirement home. And my first bonus was a case of Pop Rocks.
So you could have shown up in boxers and a you know, sleeveless shirt, and you would have been okay.
That was the day I learned you don't wear jackets and ties in radio,
right.
unless you're in sales, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have learned, though, like, a couple of years ago, I was fighting an unfair ticket that I got.
An unfair ticket? You were speeding.
No, I was not speeding.
Yeah,
my car got towed.
You got
and
towed.
The sign that said I was parking illegally was face down on the ground. So I had a compelling case. Like, how could you tow my car? The sign is down on the ground.
Right.
Took a picture of it, proved it.
How long did it take you to knock the sign down?
I never knocked the sign down.
Okay.
So I had to go to court to fight this.
Yeah.
And I showed up in jeans, a t-shirt.
That's
I'm meeting the judge.
To the court.
I made my case. Judge turns it away. As I'm leaving, someone comes over to me and says, look, I want to do you a favor.
Judge threw the case out?
Threw it out.
So you won?
No, I lost. I mean, threw me out. Basically, no.
Threw you out and made you pay.
The appeal is off. Like, they threw the appeal out.
That's because you disrespected the court.
Well, as I'm leaving, somebody gave me advice. They put their arm around me and said, you look young. Life lesson.
Yeah.
The next time you fight one of these cases,
yes.
you show up as if you belong here. You wear a shirt. You maybe even put a tie on.
Like
you put a jacket on. And I said, do you think I lost because of that? And he's like, yeah, I think it may have contributed.
Didn't help.
Didn't help.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a good life lesson.
It was a life lesson.
Yeah. You haven't taken out the heat because, you know, this sweater you got on today is the most fancy thing I've ever seen you wear.
Well, that's okay.
And you're only wearing this because we're doing a comedy show tonight.
Right. Right.
You figured, Evan figured today, he's not dressing up for TV. He's not dressing up to be at work. He's going to be in front of 400 people today. His wife said to him, I guarantee this, honey, at least look presentable. Don't wear something with a logo on it today.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Is that a fair point?
I was thinking about wearing my DeGrom jersey, and I said, that may be disrespectful to Pete. He's probably going to
be disrespectful.
Say,
he would just think you're another fan in line for his autograph.
Probably.
And then I'd have to say, no, that's my partner. He actually does the show. He actually knows a lot about baseball.
Right.
He knows what your war is and your whip. Yeah, it may get you into the Hall of Fame one day.
He doesn't have a whip, dude.
Everyone has a whip.
He's a first baseman. He's not a pitcher.
You don't get whips?
You know what a whip is? Besides the games you play,
it's a stupid analytical thing that Aaron Boone and other managers have to now live with from some, you know, Princeton or Harvard
Craig,
processing numbers.
I'm going to teach you. Stand on my knee for a second. It's walks and hits
per
innings pitched. Hence, W-H-I-P.
Yeah.
Whip. Now, how would Pete Alonso have a whip?
Because he walks and gets hits.
But he's not a pitcher.
Right? What's his offensive whip?
Stop it.
You don't get an offensive whip?
I want you to go
What's
up to
What's that called,
Pete.
On-base percentage?
OPS. Go up to Pete and say, what's your whip, by the way? I'm curious.
I don't know.
What do you think he'll say?
The question is, am I doing my Pete Alonso material tonight for the comedy show?
You kind of have to, right?
Yeah. I think Donnie Diesel has to be brought up tonight because the entire crowd, you know, like, at least half the crowd's there because it's Alonso with us, right?
Right.
Like, they bought tickets, they're expensive tickets to go tonight. So I think I got to make a Donnie Diesel joke.
You think he'll like that joke?
Well, I'm working on it. Like, part of the joke to me is, yeah, so, hey, Pete Alonso's here. You know, you, gotta do, you have to do, like, a comedian. Like, hey, right. Pete Alonso's here. You know,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right.
Like, there's a beat to delivering comedy.
I guess.
Hey, so Pete Alonso. So, like, that's no way you'd ever talk to another person. Like, you would never say, hey, Evan, so Pete Alonso's here. He's the guy that invented a hitting instructor and then fired him. Hey, Pete Alonso.
Here's the one thing you may
kind of like, kind of like a guy, I don't know, getting divorced, dating his blow up doll, and then you know, throwing her out.
Here's the only problem you may run into. So when we do a radio show, I'd say half our audience, maybe 55% of our audience, are Yankee fans, people that don't like the Mets. So when you sing, it's the same old Mets, or you make Mets jokes, you know you have half the audience who loves it.
Yes.
If you go on stage in front of nothing but Met fans and make what's, you know, let's face it, anti-Met jokes in an offseason in which we're giddy, we're excited, we're hopeful, you may not get the reaction you were intending.
You don't think people laugh at some type of Donnie Diesel joke?
I think they may, but you also may get some hissing. It's possible.
The other part is, you know, point it is, you know, there might be people who have no idea who Donnie Diesel is. I think it'd be great if he showed up as Donnie Diesel, or we brought that clown actor who plays Donnie
Diesel. Maybe that's what his material is.
That, to me, that would be money. If he's like, hey, Carton, I don't want you introducing me tonight. I got Donnie Diesel here.
That would be good.
The crowd would love that.
Well, that's because Pete's doing it.
Yeah.
Not the Yankee fan doing it.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's mocking the Mets.
Here's Kevin in Ocean City, New Jersey. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Oh, good. Listen, I'm a Mets fan. You won't have any problem with a Yankees hat. Just you would. Only problem you'd have is if somebody wore a Phillies hat. Then you would have a serious problem.
Well, there'd be. I agree with you on that. Yeah, you can't rock any Philadelphia.
You don't think? Hold on, Kevin. You don't think that there are a select group, maybe a majority of Met fans that would hiss at the sight of a Yankee hat?
No, not really. People hiss?
Not really.
What is this,
New
like
York.
Salem, Massachusetts?
Yeah, we hiss.
Are we're hissing now?
Hiss. Hiss.
Nah.
Have you ever hissed at anything before?
Maybe once or twice.
Oh my, it'd be like murmuring, like, I can't believe Carton's doing it. I get it. So, yeah. Hey, are you hissing or murmuring? What's going on here tonight? Which one are you doing?
Kevin can't really think, and I... While I may be on this side where I hate my division rivals more than I dislike the Yankees, I may be one of those. I think I'm in the minority. Most Met fans can't stand the Yankees.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is either.
Mm-hmm.
A very prominent New York Yankee just sent me a text saying, you have to rock the Yankee hat tonight.
He's right.
Or your fandom is fraudulent.
He's 100% right.
So,
whoever that person is, I completely agree with you.
You do.
You spent a year as a Yankee fan. I respect it. As much as maybe you've been mocked and blamed and what have you, you are a Yankee fan. You are still a Yankee fan. Yeah. Don't show up and pander to Met fans.
Yeah, well,
be who you are.
And
take the booze like a man.
And Steve Mazzilli, who owns Gotham, is a diehard Ranger fan.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me and said, you're not welcome in the building if you're going to be on stage wearing an Islander hat. So I'm like, a man without a home. I'm going to be like Brian Flores in about an hour. Yeah. Like, do you think right now, if you're the New York Giants, and you feel like the introductory press conference for Shane went well, you feel like Giant fans, you know, were positive about it. And I think that's a fair assessment.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you listen to this radio station as the barometer or taking the temperature of a fan base, which I think is a fair way to do it, I think it was overwhelmingly positive, right?
Despite asking questions about some of the decisions he may make, that doesn't mean you're negative about the hire.
So I do think that the Giants feel like the fan base, okay, good first step, good first step. It's interesting the next step, because the next step is arguably more important than the first step. And that is the coach.
Right.
Like, the GM puts the talent on the field. The coach has to get the most out of him. We know that, right? So it'd be really interesting how the fan base reacts to the hiring of the coach in comparison to what other franchises do. Like, right now, you know, Nathaniel Hackett wasn't interviewed by the Giants. So him going to Denver, who cares? He was never a consideration. Now, should he have been? Well, you could make the argument he should have been a candidate, but he wasn't. So, okay. So it'll be interesting how things play out.
Well, the only candidates right now that Giant fans have any enthusiasm for are the two Bryans. That's it. Brian Daboll, Brian Flores. That's it. So if Leslie Frazier gets a job or Patrick Graham gets a job, Dan Quinn's obviously going back to Dallas, I don't think there would be any kind of negative reaction at all, because Giant fans right now, outside of candidates that we haven't mentioned, like if you're still dreaming about Jim Harbaugh or something like that, Sean Payton's clearly not happening. Those are the only two guys right now, if you're going by popular opinion. And again, Joe Shane can't make a decision based on popular opinion.
Right.
He's got to make the right decision.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if the right decision were the popular one.
Sometimes it is.
Because then you get, you know, Joker And the triple?
You know where that fits?
Dub-a-dub?
You know where that fits? Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter, and I remember us saying it at the time, was clearly the popular decision, and we both admitted, yeah, it's the right decision. That's who you hire.
Yeah,
now, we'll see what the results are, obviously. I think the only guy that fit, I think the two Bryans fit that. Where
I think they win either way. The only thing that would be, it wouldn't even be a negative. It would for me, you don't have to agree, obviously, it would cast a teeny bit of a cloud on it if the Dolphins hire Daboll and then the Giants hire Flores.
But remember,
like, I'd rather if Flores is the guy, which I think Giant fans would like, I'd like the Giants to announce that before the Dolphins announce Daboll.
That's overrated. If you want
just the image of it, I don't like.
Forget imagery. You're getting too caught up in that.
I am.
Who do you want? A serious question, because you've gone back and forth. Who do you want to see as the next head coach of the New York Giants?
Well, I'm not a Giant fan.
Bro, come on.
So I don't
You don't care.
The question is, who do I want?
I'm not a Giant fan. I can answer that question. I have an opinion. I have a strong opinion. I have what I think is a fair opinion. I have an opinion about the Knicks. I hate your team. You have an opinion about the Nets. You can't stand them.
They lost last night.
I'm aware they lost.
Did you see that?
It was a great effort, though. Cam Thomas played well. They had nobody
out there. I
didn't
know if you watched or not, because they lost again last night.
Yeah, I'm aware.
They're under 500 at home.
Did you know James Harden didn't play?
I didn't know if you saw the game. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if you saw the game.
Did you watch Cam Thomas?
I know you're very busy these days, and you know, we got a big show tonight. I don't know if you're watching or not. All I said was, you know, they lost last night, and they're under 500 at home. That's all I said.
How'd the Knicks do last night?
They embarrassed themselves last night. I watched every second of it.
Okay, good.
I'm well aware of that. But I don't know if you watched the Nets lose last night.
You know I watch every Knicks game
did lose
and every
last
Net
night.
Game, and I'm well aware that they lost.
So you know that they lost.
Yes. And you know they play Saturday?
The Nets?
The Golden State Warriors on ABC.
How about that?
8:30. Steph Curry versus hopefully Kyrie and James. Let's go.
You know who the Knicks lose to their next game?
Milwaukee.
That's exactly right.
Hey, did you see the start time for that game?
I did not.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock?
Yeah, it's just like the Nets Bulls game.
Was it triple header TV?
It's a doubleheader on ESPN. You got an ESPN game.
Wow.
You beat the Bucks in Milwaukee a few months ago. Maybe you'll do it again.
Memo to everyone. Yeah, not going to happen. This team is so flawed and disgusting and, frankly, hard to watch. They've become a joke.
Yeah,
I hate to say that, but now we're at that stage now where you might as well just go ahead and lose them all.
And you've got Evan Fournier questioning the coach.
But here, but
Tom
I'll say this,
after the game.
Here's the difference. I will say this to Evan Fournier.
What?
I will get to more in-depth in a bit.
What?
Evan Fournier didn't hide from the microphones.
No, he never does.
Never does. Evan Fournier, like everyone else, was playing like crap. He didn't hide.
And when Julius...
I knew you questioned what he said, but he didn't hide. Julius Randle, again last night, pulled a David Copperfield and hid. And you brought up a great point a week or two ago.
What I said.
When we were talking about Randle and in connection to guys like Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez. If you need to recognize how to do it right, Giancarlo Stanton is the poster child for how to take it and deal with it.
I completely agree. The thing I would add to that is it's a failure of leadership as well.
I'll tell you that
because I believe a big part of why Lindor and Baez handled it better than Julius is that Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen read them the Riot Act and said, here's what you're going to do. Julius Randle has met with the media once in 2 weeks. You remember what his excuse was for why he didn't meet with the media?
Didn't he blame the Knicks?
He blamed the Knicks. He said they didn't let me. Now, we're not all idiots, Julius. We may pretend to be or sound like idiots sometimes.
Well, Tom is.
We're not all idiots. Don't sit there basically just saying, it's the Knicks' fault, and then disappear. And he talks after a win. What about all these losses?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always easy to talk after a win. I was great tonight. Hey, you see me tonight? I was great tonight.
The problem with Julius Randle right now is that he took a bad situation and made it worse.
Yeah, he did.
Like, you could have recovered from that. He didn't.
No, because he's acting like a prima donna jackass who can't handle things when they go bad. We can all enjoy things when they go good. Show me the guy that shows up when things aren't very good, and then I'll show you a leader and a guy I can stay behind and support. Julius Randle's done as a Knick. Every Knick fan will tell you that. Sell the jersey, you know, do that new American Express jersey protection program I see on TV. Send Fanatics to Jersey and get a new one back. Because he is gonzo as a Knick. 877-337-6666. Carton Roberts on the Fan.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
So as we get ready to play a little game of fantasy here on the anniversary of Bill Belichick becoming the New York Jets head coach, check this story out, Evan. Many of you remember that Mike Singletary was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, okay?
Yes.
Well, he did an interview with The Athletic that I guess is just hitting the wire today, in which he tells the story that 12 years ago, while he was the head coach of the Niners, they had a meeting with John York, the 49ers owner, their CEO, Jed York, and the general manager at the time, who's Trent Baalke, of course, is in Jacksonville now, okay? And those three men came to him, and they said, listen, we have a trade in place. We want your blessing before we pull the trigger on it. Are you ready? The San Francisco 49ers had a deal in place with the Pittsburgh Steelers to trade for Ben Roethlisberger. Okay?
Yes.
Now, quote, I've been telling the team I wanted a team of character. Roethlisberger at the time was under the microscope and the bright lights of the sexual assault allegations.
Yeah.
And because
Pittsburgh
of those.
Pittsburgh was entertaining those rumors. Yeah. The Rams were a team too.
Because of those allegations, which I believe he settled out of court.
Right.
So there was a settlement, never went to criminal trial or anything like that. Mike Singletary said, I had to be a man of my word and consistent. And I said, character first. So I vetoed the trade for Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Now he admits, to be fair, looking back on it, I wish I'd actually made the trade.
What's crazy is, so I read this entire story late last night.
It's crazy.
And the whole article is about Mike Singletary wanting another chance in coaching, okay? So it's really a piece to rehab his image. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, Mike, I love the honesty. But this doesn't really rehab your image when you vetoed a trade that, looking back on it, would have maybe changed the 49ers' fortunes. Now,
I mean, would have changed the Steelers as well.
Now, they, big time Steelers, much more the Steelers than even the Niners, because the Niners had success. They got to a Super Bowl eventually with Alex Smith, but really Colin Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh. But the whole article was about Singletary wanting another shot in coaching, and the big nugget that everybody's running with, rightfully so, is that he vetoed a chance to trade for Ben.
Yeah.
How's that going to help rehab his image?
Well, here's what's at least he was a man of principles.
Principle and honesty,
and he was unwavering. Like, we just heard Joe Shane come out and say, we're hiring, we're going to sign guys that are men of high character.
No, absolutely.
Right?
But when you now, look
the question
back
is,
on it,
easy to say that. Difficult to actually stay true to that.
And he stayed true
to it.
Yes,
he did.
But
to his own peril.
Back at it all these years later and say, they made a mistake.
Well, talent-wise, clearly they made a mistake. But at the moment, nobody knew that the case would go away.
Right.
And there were two cases.
Yep.
One was in Lake Tahoe. One was at a bar or something.
You know what the other thing is, and I mentioned this to you yesterday, when you stay away from a kid that has problems, you're also trying to predict the future. Is he going to have more problems?
Yeah.
Ben, for him, had no more issues.
He found religion and got married pretty quickly after that.
So there was never another story about Ben doing something of that nature.
So what's interesting, though, about it is, who knew that Mike Singletary carried that kind of weight? Like, the owners wanted to do it, the CEO related to the owner.
He's the head coach.
Yeah, but, like, this is a trade that's going to define an organization. So there are you're still the employee, right? We hired you. You know, you answer to us. We're not going to tell you how to coach, but we're going to make decisions. So they made a decision that negatively impacted their franchise, clearly, because of their, I guess, respect for the head coach.
Well, but the
how
head
many
coach,
teams would do that?
I think a lot of teams, because the head coach needs to be on the same page. You can't bring in a quarterback that the head coach doesn't want.
But you're talking
about a franchise
quarterback.
But then, you know what? If you believe that strongly in it, get rid of the head coach and change the head
coach.
Well,
someone's still got to coach the team.
No, bring in a different head coach. You can't bring in a quarterback that the head coach doesn't want. Craig, that's a failure waiting to happen.
So here's what's interesting, though.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, if the Steelers were willing to trade him, which clearly they were,
I heard the Rams as well, yeah.
Okay, like, how many other teams did they get even close with? I never heard the Ram one.
The Ram one was Sam Bradford, who they had the number one overall pick, so they would take their quarterback,
and they would move on from Ben. Right. I'm sure other teams had a shot at it, yeah.
Like, do you think at any point the Jets or Giants, not that they would have traded to the Jets.
The Giants had Eli Manning.
A young Eli Manning.
Yeah. And as Ben Roethlisberger retires today, and now we finally have closure on Eli versus Ben versus Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
We can all make a final diagnosis on those three guys.
Yeah.
Because that was a debate for all these years, but you needed to wait to the very, very end. Well, it's over now. No one's coming back.
Yeah.
Rivers, Ben, Eli. As great as Ben was, and I would say he was better than Eli. I think you would agree. I think most people would agree. There's not a Giant fan out there that would have traded Eli Manning for Ben Roethlisberger. Not a one.
And that would have been the year after the first Super Bowl. Right? Because we're talking 2009
yeah, it was
about,
either a year
right?
or two. And remember, in 08, they had a great year until Plaxico Burress shot himself.
Can you imagine that? Like, Eli won the Super Bowl. You know, obviously, it's on his resume. If the Pittsburgh Steelers call the Giants.
You hang up on them.
Really?
Well, first of
like,
all,
even though we all agree Roethlisberger, and this is not a knock on Eli,
no, Ben was better.
Roethlisberger is just a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Yes.
Eli's got the hardware. Again, I want to make this clear. It's not a shot at Eli Manning.
So does Ben, though.
Yeah, I know. But you would have said no to that?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, first of all, Ben had
Do you think Giant fans would have said no to that?
I just told you. Every Giant fan, every's too strong, I apologize. 80% of Giant fans, maybe 90%, would have hung that phone up and said,
"Really?
Goodbye." Yes. In that moment.
You think John Mara would have said no because of the same reason he's saying no to Deshaun Watson?
He would. Yes.
Not only had, the Josh Brown thing happened after.
He would have said no because Eli was their guy.
And because he had just won a Super Bowl.
Do you know what it's like to watch a guy win a championship?
I would have said yes.
What championship do you remember as a sports fan?
What do you mean by that?
Like when your favorite team won a title.
Can you 86, Mets. Okay. Yeah, that's all I got.
After the season's over, you can trade Darryl Strawberry to Boston for Roger Clemens. You making that trade?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, the answer's no.
I got to think about that for a second.
He just won you a title.
Yeah. And he hit the home run in game 7, too. Yeah, of course I make that trade.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No.
That's a great example you came up with.
I tried
there.
To come up with
that
one.
That is a great, and that's the only championship I have that
because
I can even give you.
Like, if the Nets won a title this year, I probably would go back on everything I said about Harden where I said, oh, send him to Philly.
No, he becomes a legend.
He'd be
for
a
you.
Legend. I wouldn't want to give him up for anything. So if you're a Giant fan, and also the legal issues are major.
Well, you're telling me that now, listen, here's the reality. We know how it did play out. They both have two Super Bowls, so the trophies are the same. We all agree that Roethlisberger was a better quarterback. You could say what you want about Eli. He's a Hall of Famer.
And by the way, just for the record, I want to, on the timeline of this, Ben didn't win any more Super Bowls. Eli did. If we're talking about, what year are we talking about? 09,
no,
right?
Ben won one more.
No, he won two.
No, he won against the Cardinals.
Yeah, what year was that?
That was after Eli's first one.
Oh, wait, what year are we talking about? We're talking about 09. Are we not?
I believe we're talking about 09. I forget that was the very next Super Bowl.
So
you're right.
He doesn't even win any more Super Bowls.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
But you've got... So it's interesting. If it's 09, which I think it was, you're right.
I think it was.
You're talking... Do you want the guy that just won the Super Bowl?
No.
Or the guy that won the one 2 years ago?
I want Eli. Eli's my guy. Eli also had a legendary run in 07. We didn't even know it was going to happen in 11. You're not making that deal. The Jets are different because the Jets at that point, would we have a year of Mark Sanchez?
We were desperate for anything anyway.
You know what? I got to be honest with that. Wouldn't have done it.
Because Sanchez is coming off.
Rookie season.
The rookie year with the AFC Championship game.
I wouldn't have done it.
And we're feeling like, hey, ground and pound, good defense. He's capable and competent.
Yeah.
We just went to an AFC Championship game. Ooh, look who we beat.
Right.
Right?
I wouldn't have done it.
You got to make that trade.
I wouldn't have done it.
If you're, I'm going to ask, if you're a diehard Jet fan or diehard Giant fan, if you could turn the clock back, Mike Singletary said no. He regrets it. Arguably, it cost him his job. Would you have made that deal?
Go back even further.
How could you not make that deal?
Craig, go back even further. When the New York Giants drafted Eli Manning.
Yeah,
they drafted him.
Yeah. Well, they didn't really draft him.
Okay, the trade with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Good.
If they had a choice of any of those three quarterbacks, and we now know their history, their resume.
Yeah. Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger.
Eli Manning.
No, they would not have. I don't think so.
Why?
I think they would have taken Roethlisberger.
Why?
Like, as you say, based on what we know.
How did Ben win
his
first?
On the careers that they
had. How did Ben win his first Super Bowl?
He had a terrible game.
Okay, and really was along for the ride during that run.
I would agree. That's a fair statement.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a terrible Super Bowl.
Okay, Ben became a superstar quarterback. He became a Hall of Fame
quarterback. To be fair.
He wasn't then.
Eli's first Super Bowl. Regular season is the infamous Jerry Reese we have a
skittish quarterback.
Skittish quarterback. So apples to apples, right?
No, I get it, but Eli Manning also played better during that postseason.
Sure he did. I'm with you on that, yeah. I mean, not so much the Tampa game per se, but yes. He obviously is a cause or reason for the win, for sure.
And a lot of it is...
How could you not take Roethlisberger, though?
A lot of
Big Ben!
I know, but a lot of it's emotional, too.
I would take Big Ben.
Of course, you... Well, how about Phillip Rivers? Phillip Rivers, I could argue right now.
I like Phillip Rivers, too.
I know he won no Super Bowls. He won none. Zero. Eli's been to two. Ben went to three. They both won two.
Jets beat him in a playoff game.
No doubt. Phillip Rivers has better career stats than either Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning.
Yeah, listen, Phillip Rivers is a great regular season quarterback.
So if you brought him in a situation where Tom Coughlin's his head coach, and you give him what the Giants had.
I see you want me to rank him. Where are you going? I got it.
I don't know.
So we're making this statement today knowing what we know. If I was going to rank those quarterbacks, in other words, if I was drafting today and I had my choice of a 21-year-old Roethlisberger, Manning, or Rivers, in what order would I take them?
Yeah.
Simple.
Simple.
Simple, simple. Roethlisberger, Rivers, Manning. 1, 2, 3.
I'm not surprised by that.
That's exactly it. That's not even, I don't even have to think about it.
So,
because those guys were better.
How do you judge better? Well, like, how are you judging better?
The eye test.
Okay.
Those guys were better
quarterbacks. Because there's a couple of things. Eli Manning's postseason success cannot be ignored. It just can't be.
I'm not ignoring it.
So when you look at Phillip Rivers, who won 5 postseason games, was under 500 in the playoffs, never got to a Super Bowl.
Now, if you want to take him out because of that, you can.
I'm not taking him out.
I'm not going to argue that.
Look, Phillip Rivers' regular season numbers are better than Eli's. Like, I can't argue that. In fact, of the three guys, only one of them led the league in touchdowns in any given season. All of them led the league in interceptions. All of them.
So Phillip led the league in touchdowns?
Phillip Rivers, 1 year, 2008, led the league in touchdowns. No one else of that group
did. What's crazy about the Mike Singletary story is when you go back, like the life that we lived, right? And we can do this in any aspect of life, obviously.
Yeah.
If you don't go to that website the first day, maybe you don't meet your wife. If I don't go into this bar, if you don't, whatever, right? So recognize that you could say that about any walk of life for any person, if, right? That being said, it's amazing because this was on paper done. The deal was done, much like we learned yesterday that the Dallas Cowboys had a deal with the New Orleans Saints, that in 2019, Sean Payton, was going to the Cowboys.
Right.
He would have been their coach this past year.
Right.
So it's not as if we're inventing something that is a total figment of our imagination.
But don't you agree?
Like, Evan, this was done.
But don't you agree? Let's say it was done. And I find this part fascinating. The biggest impact would have been on the Pittsburgh Steelers than the San Francisco 49ers in that.
But it goes beyond that. It would have been on, like, everyone in the NFC.
Oh, I don't know. No, but my point is, the Niners from 11 to 13, assuming Jim Harbaugh eventually gets the job, which I guess is off the table, they were good. They got to 3 straight conference championship games. They got to a Super Bowl.
Like,
Ben being there, maybe they win one, maybe they win two. I have no idea. So it changes them a little bit, but it's not as if the Niners have been this horrible franchise for a decade. It impacts the Steelers more.
Impacts.
What happens to Pittsburgh for the next decade? Who's their quarterback?
Who's their coach?
What happens?
Right?
I don't know.
Jim Harbaugh never goes to San Francisco. And by the way, there's a 50-50 shot at worst. We never even hear the name Colin Kaepernick.
No, we hear it from with a different team.
Maybe not.
No, he gets drafted.
Maybe he never plays?
No, he doesn't ever play.
Maybe he never plays?
No, Alex Smith never turns his career around. I think that's a much
bigger
point.
Like, think about all the dominoes, how far down the line you go of how that would have impacted the NFL.
Well, it would have
it was done.
It would have impacted
that damn Mike Singletary.
It would have impacted the Steelers in a major way. It would have impacted Alex Smith in a monumental way. I don't think it impacts Kaepernick because he's a second-round pick. He's drafted by someone else, and maybe he has more success. Maybe he has less success. I have no idea.
Maybe he never kneels. We have no idea.
You think it
everything could be different. Here's Charlie in Jersey on the fan. Charlie, good afternoon. How are you?
Evan, you could not be any more correct. After 07, as a longtime Giants fan, with a dog, with a chihuahua named Eli now, I love Eli Manning to death. You have no idea.
Wait, you bought a chihuahua and named him
Eli?
My man. I love it.
The week after the Super Bowl, and it was It was appropriate. It was fitting. I would do anything. So listen, to go to the argument, take championships aside.
Yeah.
How about durability and just headaches alone, just off the field headaches? Eli had never said anything wrong. The guy
he had one. He had one off the field headache, and it was very quickly covered up and made to go away. But that was it.
Yeah, but neither, in fairness, I just want to be fair about this. Phillip Rivers was as durable as Eli. Phillip Rivers played every single game once he became a starter in 2006. Yeah. He never missed a game. So I want to give Rivers credit for that.
And the only
headache Phillip Rivers ever gave, and I always wondered how this would go in New York, is he talked a lot of trash. He had a very different personality than Eli Manning, which I think, in a way, New Yorkers may have loved.
Yeah,
but Phillip Rivers, that leather necktie thing you used to wear, guys.
We're going to start knocking people in the ties they wear.
Come on, Craig.
I'm with you.
Would you be cool if your Jets quarterback was walking in like that?
No. I hate the fact that my owner wears a skinny tie. It pisses me off.
Guys, big fans. Love you guys.
Hi, Charlie. Good job, buddy. All right. Yo, Phillip Rivers never had a scandal. Eli had one, and Ben had two.
Eli didn't have a scandal.
Yes, he did.
Don't equate that to Ben.
Yes, he did.
Don't equate it to Ben.
I'm not equating it to what the scandal was, but he had a scandal.
What's the scandal?
He was selling fake memorabilia.
Oh, come on.
He told you he didn't have a scandal.
That's not a scandal.
That's not a scandal?
Listen.
You ever buy a game used jersey thinking it was game used, only to find out it wasn't? Yeah, it went away.
Let me say this about Eli Manning. And yeah. I found this out a few weeks ago. It was a buddy of mine whose son was dealing with a medical issue. And
Eli Manning, he's
doing great.
Great.
Eli Manning went above and beyond.
Yeah,
that guy is a good dude.
Good.
That guy is legit. For anyone who says, I wonder if Eli's really that good of a dude. Eli Manning is one of the better human beings you'll ever see.
Look at you.
Well, I want to be fair, because when I saw what he was doing and how much extra he did, I said it to my friend. I was like, that guy's
awesome.
That guy's a mensch.
Which totally makes up for taking $600,000 from a hospital going out of business. I think it's great that he is that good a guy, because, there are other stories out there that paint a different picture. So thankfully, we have a personal story
that
balances out those stories that you hate mongers write in the newspaper.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Though I will say, if Phillip Rivers played in New York, I think he would have been
a rock star.
A dog, yeah. A good dog.
In a good way.
Good dog. Our last caller called Eli a dog because, you know what I think, in a lot of ways, for the diehard Giant fan, is the most infamous game in Eli Manning's history? Not even the Super Bowl. That's an easy one. Oh, the pass, the escape, David Tyree.
Yeah, yeah.
Surviving the Niners in the 11 championship game.
One of the great, gutty, legit, manly performances.
That was one of the gutsiest, grittiest performances you'll ever
see. And if you remember that game, not only was he gutty and gritty, the refs missed the Ahmad Bradshaw fumble.
And the Niners had a big fumble. I mean, you really want to go through aspects of the game?
I'm just saying, what an amazing, gutty, manly performance. And oh, by the way, the refs totally foobarred a call that would have cost them the game. That being said, that he was physically abused in that game.
Physically abused in that
game. And kept coming back for more, which is, by the way, win or lose, that's how you win over a fan base. Like, the fan base loves that type of guy.
Yeah.
The guy that takes the beating, wipes it off, and goes, let's go again.
Remember the preseason game against the Jets when he got bloodied and he stayed
out
of the game?
That's why, in the boxing world, we love Gotti so much.
Right.
That's why we love the Diaz brothers in MMA. Guys that take a beating and say, I'm your Huckleberry, let's do it again.
Yeah.
877-337-6666.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand.
Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.